I'm Eldridge Morris. In the late 1950s and early 1960s, I was a student of Harry Hess, who was a professor of geology at Princeton University. Hess was the person who gave rise to what I think is the greatest revolution in geological sciences in this century, if not of all time. Hess had the idea that the ocean floors spread, that continents moved apart from one another, and in other places they came together. Using this idea and the evidence that's accumulated for it over the past 30 years, we've been able to understand how earthquakes occur, why they occur where they do. We understand also how volcanoes occur and why volcanoes are where they are, why mountains form, how mountains form. Mountains form by two continents that used to be apart, approaching each other and colliding, as India, which used to be down next to Antarctica, has moved north 5,000 kilometers to slam into Asia, as Australia has moved northward from Antarctica and in the present time is beginning to slam into Indonesia and into the islands of the Western Pacific. So it's a very powerful tool, and we can see now a pattern in the Earth's history of continents having been together, having moved apart, evidence of this kind of dance of the continents. So Harry Hess was really quite a guy. He was in the U.S. Navy during the war. He ended up at the war as a captain of an attack transport in the Pacific. And one of the developments that one had in the war was the use of echo sounding to estimate the distance to the bottom of the ocean. And Hess insisted upon running his echo sounder at all times, even in combat and even in submarine-infested waters, and took thousands of miles of soundings. And what he discovered were flat-topped mountains in the ocean. And the first thing he did after the war ended was publish a paper on these flat-topped mountains, and he said that these mountains were perhaps volcanoes or mountains that had been at the surface and had sunk down. And this was a new way of looking at things. And it was the first sort of wedge into the solid wall of fixist ideas that the oceans were fixed and ancient and the continents were fixed. It was the first wedge into that solid wall. One of the interesting things about plate tectonics is that it's still a very live subject and surprises still happen every day. We're sitting here in California, which is one of the tectonic marvels of the world. Forgive me for saying that, but California is a place that there's always surprises happening. For example, the Great Valley of California, which is one of the most remarkable features on the North American continent, a sort of sausage-shaped valley that's about 400 miles long, 60 or so miles wide. It's the breadbasket of the entire United States. Much of the food is grown in the valley. The question is, why is it there? It has mountains around it. In fact, the mountains on all sides are rising rapidly. And the reason for the valley to be here has been a real puzzle until just recently. Recently, we've come to realize that just beneath us here, some 13 kilometers down, there's a big slab of ocean crust and mantle sitting on the edge of the continental crust, thrust in here at some time in the past, thrust up over the edge of the continent, holding it down. It's as if you had your foot on a board in the water and were holding it down underwater. And now we can understand that that is why the valley is here and has remained low as the mountains come up around it. One of the things about the old plate tectonic idea is that it's completely changed the way that we view the Earth. People traditionally thought of the Earth as being terra firma. It was this solid place that we could anchor ourselves to. We now recognize that that's not the case, that all the bits and pieces of the Earth are in motion, and that they're in motion at a very slow rate, at the rate of a few centimeters per year, about the rate that your fingernail grows. All of the Earth is like that, and it changes the way that we view this home of ours.